When the beast's in town, the liquor goes down. Welcome back to Meat for the Beast, episode 23.
23? Or is it 22.5?
Yeah, it might be a short one, because McVeigh's, you know, he's
cooking.
Feeling, he's feeling tired.
I'm not tired, I'm just cooking some chicken stock, man. I want to make some soup, you know what I mean?
All right, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's a good excuse.
That's like Stevie Yates when he couldn't come to band practice because he had to go down the pub. Oh, yeah,
that's a good one.
Because no food's ever been reheated. I don't mind. We'll just do a short one. It's all right by me.
See how we go.
It won't be full of moans about our life problems this time.
No, it won't.
Although we got a well fast download rate on the last one.
Really?
We didn't get like tons of downloads, but we got pretty much 50% our regular downloads within about a day.
Sweet.
Because of like the beast crying with his titties out. With his udders on show.
Nothing worse than seeing a fucking fat beast weep.
Yeah, I don't know about those udders actually. I don't think I want to put them on him again.
No, I don't think you should.
Oh yeah, and also it turns out our hosting company are a bunch of arseholes.
Really?
Who are trying to put us through the ringer financially.
Trying to squeeze some cash out of us.
Yeah, so basically means, well, like me and McVeigh come to a deal to sort, you know, to buy a little bit more space, and then in about a year we're going to have to kind of reboot to suck them off, unfortunately, because if you want to swap providers, you've got to basically bin your podcast off, because iTunes demand a new name for some fucking reason, and the old feed, just you can't just redirect the feed from somewhere else.
Really?
Unless someone out there knows how the fuck to do it, but I've looked into it and it looks like there isn't a way, so we'd just have to, can you think of a good name, a new name for Meat for the Beast?
Something to think about, that.
Meaty Beast.
Oh no, man! Meat for the Beast. How about just Meat for the Beast too?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool name, actually, isn't it? Meat for the Beast. I'm pretty chuffed with it. Although you came up with it, to be fair. Well,
no, I didn't come up with it. I think it's the Mason Dixon Line Power Grab. God love them. They came up with it, and I think, I don't know if that's a line from Cabal as well, isn't it? Not Cabal, Nightbreed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I don't think they took it from that, because their song "Meat for the Beat" was Omar Sharif and his beard of beef. Wasn't it? Such a dirty feast.
More Ivan Avello award-winning lyrics there.
Good lads.
Good tune.
Yeah.
I thought of Return of the Beast, or Meat for the Beast Returns. Well, we'd have to make a big point in the last episode, I guess, try and get subscribers to resubscribe. So we'd have to kind of come up with it before that.
Fucking hell.
Anyway, let's fuck it for a year anyway.
Yes. Yeah, let's see how we go.
Yeah.
Might be dead.
Oh.
We can live it up. Or Habersage, but you know.
Habersage? What?
You know the phrase, we can live in hope?
Oh, right, okay.
Habersage is next door, right?
Bloody hell, mate.
Fucking
not even a Sheffield man found that funny.
Well, it's Derbyshire, isn't it?
Ah, yeah, true. It's a weird one, Sheffield, isn't it? Because when I lived there, I always thought of it hardcore Yorkshire, but it's not at all, really, is it? It's almost Derbyshire.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I think bits of Sheffield are actually in Derbyshire as well, because like Dronny's technically Sheffield, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's Derbyshire.
Yeah, it's weird. So, and Chesterfield people still have Sheffield postcodes. And Chesterfield's Derbyshire. So.
Really? I didn't
know.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think Chesterfield's Derbyshire, I'm sure it is.
Speaking of Chesterfield, that crooked spire looks totally amazing.
I guess so, yeah. I've not thought about that in a while. Yeah.
I once went to meet this lad called Wynn Ryder. You've probably heard of him. You know,
I've got one of his bloody things. I've got a Nightwing.
Oh, yeah, you got commission done.
Yeah.
I went to meet him in Chesterfield once because I was passing through.
Right.
And I went to the Crooked Spire and had a proper look at it. It was fucking amazing. You know, it makes things like Big Ben look pretty shit, to be honest.
Right.
It just looks insane. It just looks like it shouldn't exist.
If any of our international listeners don't know what the fuck we're on about, there's a... In the sleepy town of Chesterfield, near Sheffield, there's a church, and the spire on the top is bent, and it's all twisted. And rumour has it, it was a dragon. Is that right?
No, it's the devil's tail did it. Cause
the devil's tail? That's bullshit,
the story's that the devil's tail did it, and that if ever there was a woman of respect in Chesterfield, it would straighten up. that's the true, you know, what the lute guy used to sing.
Really? Yeah. I'm having a look at this.
Is that Tom J. Neill did a comic about it? So I looked it up, and he was on the money.
Interesting.
I've got a couple of things I was going to mention. Unless you anything you'd like to share.
I had something. Yeah, you can go.
Just watched the Savile documentary. Jimmy Savile.
Which one? What?
You know, Louis Theroux's new expose.
Oh, right. What, is there another one?
Well,
he did one years ago, didn't he? Before all the...
Yeah, it's basically him, his apology for not shopping Savile.
Oh, right, wow.
For not sussing him out. Fucking hell, it's heavy viewing, man.
Shit, what's it on?
He just talks to like some of his victims and some of his friends.
Jeez,
it's very weird because I think the weirder one were people that he used to like be pals and work with and stuff because they, like a big part of their life was based around him, and he was like. I think he was quite a social character, so as well as the work thing, that would like hang out a lot.
Right.
And then he died, obviously, and then later on they find out actually he was a massive fucking rapey nonce. And,
Jesus.
You've got to sort of wrap your head around that, and you've got these like women about my mum's age who've got like photos of him in the living room, but they've now put it behind a picture of Uncle Larry or whatever, you know.
Right.
They've still got these fond memories of him, but they all know that he's a piece of shit, and it was that was obviously where Louis Theroux's take on it came from. So it was really worth checking out, man. It was very harrowing, though. I was a bit half-arsed about it because I always thought, well, you know, I like Jim will fix it. You know what I mean? I thought there was probably a bit of opportunism going on. The reality of it was pretty bad, I thought, and he was also a piece of shit, like the Lost Prophets guy, I reckon.
Right.
And yeah, it's a real shame. It's a real shame, but
Jesus,
it's mad he got away with it as well. There's like literally hundreds of people involved. Yeah.
Christ, it sounds good, but bloody hell.
I think you'd appreciate it. You know, it's definitely not trousers down viewing. Fucking hell. There's a fucking edit.
Well, that's alright, I think, isn't it? It's a statement of fact, surely.
Moving on, I also got... It was our anniversary yesterday.
Happy anniversary. Hey. Well done. She's not kicked you out yet.
Five years of marriage. Hey.
Good one. You got a kiddie. Nice one.
Here comes Mrs. Conley with mummy. We've got this stupid in joke about a certain person we don't like who was in this video. And I won't reveal any more than that, but just if we ever say that, just give it some context. and his missus is in the background. He's like, oh, there she's on it. We often have a little dig about this person on a boring day, which is a bit pathetic, really.
I know. If only we'd have done something with our lives, Jim.
I was going to say, she got me They Live.
Oh, nice.
On Blue, because I've only ever owned it on DVD.
Yep.
And some very nice extras on it.
Has it got the sweet cover art by the dude Designs?
It looked like the same guy that did Hobo with a Shotgun.
Okay.
So, very similar style, so that kind of a bit of a nod to that sort of the classic era of illustrated covers.
Yeah, yeah, fully. Yeah, the dude Designs, he's fucking mint.
He's British, isn't he, that guy?
I'm not sure.
All right.
I couldn't tell you that. But yeah, that's good. Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, I watched it last night again, and shoved the extras on after it, and it's a pretty respectable set of extras, actually. I wasn't massively blown away by the transfer, because it doesn't really look that much different to the DVD. I was expecting a real crisp cleanup, but
right.
But they've certainly made up for it on the extras, because you got obviously Carpenter and Keith David's in there, and Meg Foster, but sadly no. What's his name?
Oh, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was made long before he died, but I don't know whether he's probably got sick of talking about it.
Could be. We went to see him in an audience with.
Oh yeah, you tell me about this.
In the back of it was in Sheffield Memorial Hall. Yeah. That's the one, little one at the back, isn't it. Anyway, he couldn't focus really well, and he took questions. And someone asked, as you'd expect, someone asked a question about that 5-minute fight scene, and he started telling it, and then he got distracted. Got confused, stormed off, came on stage and sang a blues song. It was fucking weird.
Yeah,
it was right odd. But he was funny. He had some funny tales, other than that. But seeing as Ron Carpenter, I rewatched...
Ron Carpenter?
Yes.
Is that John's uncelebrated brother? like Ridley Scott and Tony. John and Ron. Ron was more action orientated.
Well, his stuff was far better. Ron Carpenter. Seeing as we are on Carpenter.
Yeah.
I rewatched Escape from LA the other night.
Oh, I saw that again recently. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I think it's fucking ace, and it doesn't get the respect it deserves. Anyone you talk to about it, they're always straight off going, oh, the effects are shit. And it's like, well, it was the mid-90s, all the effects were shit. So wipe that off for one thing. And it's got far more going on, and it seems to have a bit more of it's got a social commentary going on. It's a bit more relevant now, I guess. And I read an interview with Carpenter, and he said, I don't know what these people are on about slagging off Escape from LA. It's a far superior film to Escape from New York. Just watch it. And I watched it, and it kind of... I can see where he's coming from. I'd say most people enjoy New York more, but Escape from LA is not the piece of shit that many would have you believe. And it's got a fucking ace ending.
A sweet ending, yeah.
Isn't it?
My take on it was way better than I remembered, but... Obviously, that bit where he goes to LA in the fucking rocket or whatever looks shit. When there's that shark jumping out from SeaWorld or some bollocks.
I think it's the surfing thing that sticks out in my head. Fucking hell.
I did a bit of trolling the other day, actually, because someone was dissing that exact scene, and I wrote, what are you on about? That's the best snake scene ever shot. Like, when he hits that wave, he's never been better. And then
that was ridiculous.
Then at the end I wrote, actually, no, it's shit, but I still like the film.
You should have left him thinking that there was a maniac out there who firmly believed that that was Snape Plissken's finest moment.
He looked like Snake's outfit in it looks badass, though. When he's in that black leather and he's got those sort of chrome guns and shit. That's isn't they a bit chrome, aren't they? They're kind of, he looks,
I think so, yeah.
It's just because he shows up at the start line the same exact outfit as the 80s flick, and you're like, oh, fucking hell, that's... That outfit's not really swinging it anymore, but he properly pimps up straight away.
Yeah.
And I like the bit where the hologram bit where he's on the plane. He's kind of in the plane hologram.
Yeah.
Where the girl from People Under the Stairs is stealing that device. And
Is she the president's daughter?
Yeah. Huh? Girl from People Under the Stairs. Sure. Good forgotten horror flick, that.
That's what it's craving, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. I watched Swamp Thing the other night.
I've been tempted by that. Well, go on.
Yeah, well, get involved. It's a bit shonky. It's worth it for a bit of a lecturing over Adrien Barbeau, but beyond that, it's not good. It's not good at all.
I did see Return of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
In the late 80s at the cinema. I remember it being a bit of a B movie. It got a bit of attention on the back of Batman.
Right.
No, it must have been late 80s. It must have been later in the 80s than that. Because DC became cool at the cinema.
Of course, yeah, it's DC, isn't it?
Yeah. I've often fancied a bit of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing.
Yes, I've heard good things.
It's supposed to be shit hot.
Yeah.
They could actually, I can imagine there's a TV show, Swamp Thing could be badass. It's just whether they'd have the effects budget to do him justice, you know. I don't think you could really put a bloke in a fucking swampy suit anymore.
No, I don't think so. And that's the problem. I think it's like 1982. Right. And it's just right. It's rubbery shit. And it's Ray Wise. You know, Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks. He's one of Bodica's henchmen in RoboCop.
Yeah.
Guy who kicks him in the bollocks. he's like this right-on scientist. And the baddie scientist kind of...
It's got a bit of an Italian look about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tries to off him, and he just falls in the swamp on fire. And then when the villains are out looking for him, he just keeps cutting to him, like, strutting in the distance, screaming, like, in his rubber outfit, going, and just hiding in the swamp. And then later on, for some reason, Adrienne Barbeau's skinny dipping, even though she's supposed to be scared. And it's messy. It's messy shit.
Shit. And I've never really read any Swamp Thing, to be honest. It's taken till now to get interested in him. It's quite psychedelic looking, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Alan Moore took a different, I want to say philosophical approach to it. And it wasn't just about a guy who could control whatever his frigging powers are, but it was more about the effect on his humanity and that kind of stuff. So that sounds a bit more interesting.
Yeah, apparently I read somewhere that Moore had him. He's in a constant state of as if he's blowing his load.
All right.
He's in like a constant orgasmic state.
Jesus.
Because of all his, swampy, natural chemical stuff.
Crikey.
He ingests.
How's he going to get anything done?
Don't know. Hey, mate. Speaking of green monsters, I don't know if you. I never watched it, but there was a leaked trailer from that Thor Ragnarok new film coming up. And they also put out a picture of the Hulk, the Hulk's helmet as this gladiator helmet.
Yeah, from Planet Hulk, yeah?
Yes.
Exactly.
So I tracked down Planet Hulk and read it. And,
okay.
It was really good. Really enjoyed it.
I've heard good things.
Totally different from stuff I normally read, but it was... Did you like John Carpenter of Mars?
You mean John Carter of Mars?
Sorry.
you see that wrong Carpenter of Mars? Very good.
There's the episode title. Wrong Carpenter of Mars. Some great research going on again.
I did enjoy it, yeah.
It's basically cross between the Gladiator, or, you know, like Russell Crowe bullshit.
Yeah.
No, actually, fuck that. It's basically Spartacus crossed with John Carter, crossed with Hulk.
Sounds good.
And it's kind of silly Marvel Power Ranger shit, but in a good way.
The bloody the animated movie's on Netflix, and I started watching it, and I passed out twice.
Yeah, I did. That's partly why I got it into it, because I thought this seems good, so I should read it. And as always, when you see the book first, the adaptation seems a bit pale by comparison. But it is, to credit it, it's partly what made me want to read it. So it seems like not that far away from it, to be fair.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm up for that.
Have you been reading, you know, any comic shizzle? Did you break out your 7 copies of Nightwing again?
It's my copies of what?
Your 7 copies of Nightwing.
You dick, I've got over 100.
Sorry.
Dickhead. No, I'm not reading anything at the minute. Hmm. I should be, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. No, I've got nothing to contribute here, Jim, I'm afraid. Although, there's a crossover of Big Trouble in Little China and Escape from New York, which we were talking about off air.
Yeah, that
sounds mint.
Yeah, I was saying it looks like the artist has drawn Kurt Russell in a way he wouldn't appreciate. He's not made him look pretty, has he? So,
no.
He's made him look kind of a bit of an idiot, really. A bit of a dope.
I think that's what's good about old Jack Burton is, like, if you watch Escape from Big Trouble in Little China, Jack Burton looks, it's constantly like, what the fuck am I doing here? What is going on? It's like the character doesn't have a clue, but also Kurt Russell probably doesn't have a clue either. And I think that adds to its charm, I guess.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Speaking of real men, we've had our bathroom. It's currently getting done up.
Shit!
So we've had some real men round doing it up.
How did that make you feel?
Yeah, well, I draw pretty pictures. They, like, drill holes in the room next door. But they've been listening to Radio 1. So obviously, it's not a good thing. But they seem like sound guys, actually. You know. They've not been giving it the usual... I don't know. I kind of imagine all workmen being racist, but I'm sure that's really out of order.
Yeah, ironically, that's something of a stereotype.
Well, they've not been giving it all they've not been giving it all that carry on. But the Craig David song came on the radio, and I felt I had to get up and say, "Sorry, fellas, but this is we've got no Craig David policy in this house." One of them was like, "Oh no, he's all right. He's got a few good songs." I realised his beard looked a little Craig David, and I was like, "Shit, I've said the wrong thing here." Craig David, fucking hell! Whatever happened to him? Did Bo Selecta just finish his career off or something?
Oh, that kickstarted it, man. now he tours with Kes. He's actually a really trained in kestrel weaving or whatever. No, he's actually. I was out with some women from work the other night, and one of them was looking on the phone, went all high pitched, said that Craig David was touring. They've decided to go and see him in Manchester or Leeds. Three of them.
Get involved.
No, I don't want in on that.
Yeah. So we've got John Carpenter end of the month.
We do. John Carpenter playing live in Manchester. Should be fun.
Sadly changed the venue to a fucking warehouse rather than a beautiful old church hall, but never mind.
I think it was ATP went bust, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying. Yeah.
Bastards.
Has your tickets arrived yet, by the way?
It's not. I've not ordered them. They're coming through someone else. I've not heard that they're not, but I've not heard that they have.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Well, Sweet Steve sorted his ticket out eventually.
So, oh, nice one.
Took him literally a year to buy a ticket.
Fucking hell, of course.
Because I thought he'd done it straight away. But, I mean, it's a good job that place did go bankrupt because Sweet Steve would be not coming otherwise, which would be an absolute disaster.
Exactly. Sweet Steve might go a little sour and nobody would want that.
So that should be a good do, I reckon.
Definitely, yeah.
I think a brief reunion with Fatty Bimbati before the gig would be good, so just to see how he's getting on for old time's sake.
Well, I hear he's really upped his game these days.
He's a
thicker set lad.
Yeah,
might take a lot out of you to hang out with him all night, but you know, we'll say hello, I'm sure.
Yeah, a brief reunion. So yeah. We're talking about by the way. Chris, figured it out. Is that all right with you? Do you want me to bleep it?
Yeah, just bleep the bleep the bit after. That'd be like shit. just random bleeping. sorry, mate. Sorry.
It's all right. I had a quick toot before Batman v Superman, which really added to it for me. Cause
fucking hell, I bet it did.
I couldn't afford the IMAX because I was just skint at that month, and I was like,
sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that.
No, it's like poor man's IMAX.
How can I get more out of this? Yeah, not spending more money.
hit the fat lad. So yeah, that's a definite, I reckon, for Carpenter. And then hit the NQ in style, I reckon.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I had a pint of cloud water the other day. Have you ever tried that?
No, what is it?
Sweet ass craft beer from the States, I think, or maybe it's a UK beer.
Right.
It was bloody well nice. Got it on draft at Port Street Ale House. Oh, look at look at cloud water over there. It comes Mrs. So-and-so with Cloudwater.
Fucking hell. Cloudwater. It's Mancunian.
Is it? Oh, right. I didn't know that. Yeah. Shit.
Oh, check that out. Well, it looks to be anyway. Shit. Nice one.
Sweet deal.
Check you out.
Yeah. I took your advice and watched Hush.
Oh, yeah. Good, eh?
Really good. Really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting great things. I was just up for just a standard slasher, and it was a lot more, I thought.
Yeah. No, it's thoroughly decent.
Someone told me it was by the Absentia guy.
It might very well be.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. He did Oculus as well.
Ah, yeah, of course. Yeah, I never saw that.
Oculus is not very good.
The trailer, I don't really... sounds really harsh, but Karen Millen's nice to look at, Karen Gillan or whatever. I don't really think she's a great actress, to be honest.
I know what you mean. She plays, what's her name in Guardians of the Galaxy, doesn't she?
She's
I know what you mean. She's not brill, but
she doesn't blow me away.
No,
unfortunately.
Very good, very good.
Oh, sorry, terrible.
Oculus has got a decent concept, but it just kind of, it doesn't really know where to go with it. And when it ended, I was like, where's the rest of the fucking film, man? It just seems to be a bit too, we don't know what to do with this. And I think it was like a short film padded out, so, yeah. But Hush was thoroughly decent because it's really tight, you know, there's not a lot going on. It's very simple. Concept-wise,
I thought it owed a fair bit to Scream, actually, because the villain was not untouchable. He wasn't like a sort of Jason Voorhees,
yes,
despicable kind of unstoppable monster. He was like actually like a bit insecure, wasn't he, in some ways? And
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
quite like they gave him they gave him humanity, made it all feel a bit more real.
Yeah. But yeah, some good effects there, and like the use of the frigging alarm, because obviously she's deaf.
Yeah.
The alarm has to be visual for her. Yeah. Heavy shit.
Yeah, definitely interesting flick. Watched another good horror. Well, it wasn't great, but I watched that new Rob Zombie film, 31.
Oh shit! How? What's that on?
I rented it. I just rented it through Amazon. It's got Meg Foster in it. Meg Foster, whatever.
That's good. Did you watch what was his last one, which I really liked? Lords of Salem. Did you watch that?
Never saw it actually. No.
It's decent. I'll sling it your way. Yeah, it's probably. I'll watch any shit Rob Zombie does, because I think he's got something in him that is of note. I think he can do something worthwhile, and I think The Devil's Rejects is his best. I've got no problem with that at all. But Lords of Salem is really strong, and it's got a bit of an Argento vibe, and it's creepy. The only downside is it's cast his annoying wife who can't act for shit in it.
He keeps doing that, doesn't he?
He does keep doing that, yeah.
I think she fronts 31 as well, because the main woman was pretty crap in that.
Right. But yeah, Lords of Salem, thoroughly decent, and just it got under my skin quite a bit, Lords of Salem. But yeah, 31, I didn't know that was out. Fucking hell.
It's a bit like The Running Man, but with a horror, obviously with a horror vibe. And one thing I've noticed about Rob Zombie films is that it's quite a bully vibe to it. It's like his main characters often seem like bullies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which really struck me in this one. But I think the good thing was that the kind of people in distress weren't completely pathetic. They actually could sort of hold their own a bit, so it made it a bit less. I don't know, but there was some chainsaw clowns in it who were quite cool.
Nice.
It's worth seeing for the chainsaw clowns.
Fucking hell.
Obviously you don't see this, but it was all a bit rapey, which is always a bit uncomfortable, I think. It's when horror can get a bit nasty, isn't it? When it enters that domain.
Yeah, we don't need it to go rapey, but it is. Yeah, Sherry Moon Zombie, she's fucking in it. Yeah. Oh, I might check this out, man. It looks decent.
And there's a little fella dressed like Hitler in it.
Always good. Can't go wrong with that.
For some reason, talking Spanish.
So
don't know how the fuck that works. Spanish dwarf Hitler. And it's good. I mean, well, it's not great. I'll be honest, I'd wait for it on Netflix, because it wasn't really worth paying for.
Right.
If you know what I mean, properly paying for.
Fair enough. I've seen that what's it called? Eli Roth's The Green Inferno has just appeared on Amazon.
Oh yeah. You ever seen it?
No, I might give that a spin tonight, actually. I can't fucking abide Eli Roth, but I'm curious to see this.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of horror, seeing as we're on the thing, did you see Blair Witch?
Not yet, no. Any good?
Well, if you've not seen it, I'd rather hold off talking about it, to be honest.
I don't think I'm going to... I'll be honest, mate, I was never a massive fan of the original.
Okay.
So go for it.
It's disappointing. It's just a retread. Except they've got a fucking drone cam, and it's basically the lead folk. He's out looking for his sister, who was Heather from the first film. But I think what kind of made it disappointing was the fact that it's Adam Wingard. He did You're Next and The Guest, Horrible Way to Die. He's got strong previous films, and then this trailer came. This trailer came out earlier this year for the new film from Adam Wingard called The Woods. And I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. It might be a bit Blair Witchy, but, people in the woods. And then there's, capsule reviews from Joe Blow saying the scariest film ever made. And I'm like, okay, nice one. We're excited. And then at Comic-Con, they said, oh, you know that film we made? It's actually a Blair Witch sequel. And people went mental. And I was like, oh, all right, fine. But I still had faith because it was by him. And then watching it, it relies on too many fake jump scares caused by fucking edit glitches and that kind of shit. But, there's a few moments that are a bit brown trousers-y, but Ultimately, it's a 2.5 out of 5 at best.
Yeah, I think of that whole kind of found footage era, the first Paranormal Activity did actually, before I'd heard anything about it, I saw it at Satellite Screams, like Sheffield Horror Festival. And that really got under my skin when I first saw that.
Yeah, me
you were as well, weren't you?
Yeah, me and Hall were sat on the front row. And because after it ended, there's no credits, is there? There's just she throws him at the camera. And then there's just fade to black, and then there's just like 5 minutes of rumbling. And me and Hal were just writhing in our seats, like, fucking turn it off. Yeah, that was good. But, you know, that was, what was that, 2007,
I think.
No, I think, fucking hell,
Back a bit. It's going back because I was still working at my old job and living in Sheffield, so.
I'm going to go with 9, but I'm going to look it up. Do do do.
Here we go.
Oh, what's the verdict?
This is a good thing about Skyping, because you can get these answers within 30 seconds rather than 6 minutes.
Yeah. Fucking hell, Jimmy. You were right.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's because I did the poster. I kind of had it somewhere in the back of my head that date.
Jesus.
Yeah.
One
thing I meant was fucking refuse to print anything that isn't a TIFF file or some shit. So I gave them this massive file that needed to be massive, and they refused to open it because it was like a PSD. Because of course, you know, asking any sort of print company to open up the default creative software that has been that way for the last 20 years is outrageous.
Absolutely. Fucking hell.
Bunch of fucking arseholes.
Arseholes.
I didn't know that place is still open.
Anyway, going back on topic.
Sorry, I better bleep their name out in case they come after us.
Don't worry, they're not listening to this. But yeah, Paranormal Activity. You know, I guess that's credited with launching the found footage, but arguably Blair Witch did it. You know,
You know what?
In 1999?
Friend of the show, James Bonsall, aka Terry.
Terry.
He had this film called Last Broadcast about the Jersey Devil.
I remember that. Fucking
I'm
bag of shit.
Spoil the ending because it's shit. It turns out the guy making the doc is a Jersey Devil or some shit. Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, why have I just watched this for 2 hours?
Yeah.
But then he gave it his highest recommendation, as I recall, along with some shit with a talking dog in it that I paid money to rent and then turned out to be a complete arse.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Jersey Devil was a year before Blair Witch. Maybe if that's going to get any credit at all, it could be for the found footage business.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, the Last Broadcast, I remember that. It was fucking dog shit.
I've been building a Halloween list, mate, for Halloween week. I'm going to watch another horror film a night.
Nice one.
Have you thought about doing that?
I might as well.
I mean, cause it's something I got off, you know, Marcus, who did a little stint, did a one-off on here. He was like the, you know, the Electric Soup Kitchen guy.
Yes.
So this is what I've got. I've never seen The Gate with Stephen Dorff. So
fucking A.
Is it good?
Have some drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right, but I'd recommend to get at least down a bottle of wine or 4 tins of beer before you put it on.
Okay, because...
And then have a couple more for when you're watching it.
I was thinking that might ease Melissa into things, because she's not really a big horror person.
Yeah, it's jaunty.
Yeah, it looked kind of like Goonies horror film, which is what I want for an opening thingy. Sound about right, or
that's all right. I think if you wanted Goonies, I'd go with Monster Squad. But yeah, but The Gate's technically a horror, so yeah. Go on.
Yeah, saw Monster Squad. It was all right. It didn't blow me away, but it was all right.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it or anything. Then new Brandon Routh film, 400 Days.
Okay.
Don't know if you caught that one.
I've got no info on that.
It looks like a kind of Big Brother thing, but they're in a pretend kind of space centre for 400 days.
Right.
And it's like one of these weird studies into what happens to people. And I don't know. I presume it goes down the psycho route eventually or whatever, but who knows? So I've been avoiding any spoilers for that.
All right.
Conjuring 2. I never saw that. I quite fancy that. I like the original.
Oh, yeah. The Conjuring 2. That's set in England, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that Enfield haunting thing.
Yeah, I like. I want to see that.
So I don't know. Were they actually at the Enfield haunting though? That American couple was that? Is that just bullshit?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Forget the names, but I did like the original.
I did. Yeah,
I thought the first one was fantastic. But Krampus, I thought I'd give that a go.
Strong. It's a Christmas film though, man. You should watch it at Christmas.
Yeah, it might get me in the mood though.
Yeah, true.
In fact, I might start with that one because that's probably a good one for Melissa.
Yes, it is. That's probably better.
And then follow it with The Greasy Strangler.
Sweet.
Have you seen it yet? I've not seen it.
I know. I think they showed it at the showroom the other night, and I hadn't heard anything about it, and I was having a drink with Scott, and he said, "Have you seen this shit?" And I went home and watched the trailer, and yeah, I want in.
Mm. It looks pretty bizarre.
Yes.
It looks like this year's... what's that one? Turbo Kid. Looks like this year's Turbo Kid.
Oh, Turbo Kid was dog shit.
What?
Yeah.
What
is
shit?
When you think of that shit, I had to turn it off. Turn it off. Bag of shit, mate. Bag of shit.
I had to turn it off and put Michael Bay on. So,
well, yeah, that would be a far better thing.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't like that, but fair enough. I respect your opinion.
I wasn't drunk enough, I don't think.
Yeah. I thought the girl in Turbo Kid would have been a fantastic Harley Quinn, because she actually did seem fucking nuts. She had that sort of insane smile on her and
shit.
She was quite pretty as well, so should have been a great Harley Quinn, I reckon.
I can't remember. I turned it off, man. I'm sorry.
No,
I can't engage in conversation about Turbo Kid. But speaking of Harley Quinn, news has broken that we're getting a extended cut of Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Bang up for that, mate.
Yep.
Definitely. I think we were both into it.
Yeah, I think we're... Well, it's certainly in our... Well, I don't know anyone who liked it, apart from you.
Really?
Everyone else fucking hated it, yeah. I had a whale of a time. I had more fun at the cinema watching that than I did Batman and Superman. I'm not saying it's a better film, but I was like, yeah, this is actually like it's a good romp. Whereas Batman and Superman, it took a lot out of me, and it's only when I watched the proper version that I was like, yeah, that's fine, that's good, let's carry on. But Suicide Squad, straight away I was like, yeah, this is ace.
It kind of I don't know what people were expecting from it, because for me it was like, well, that was better than I expected. So
yeah.
I don't really get what people wanted, because what did you really want from fucking Captain Boomerang? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you made a film of the fucking new Mutants or something, and it's actually superhero film of the year rather than a piece of dog shit.
Exactly.
So
ridiculous.
I thought Leto's Joker was in it more than I expected, to be honest.
Well, I think it was
obvious from the trailers that he was just going to cameo now and again, and anyone couldn't figure that out. Must be not very bright, I think.
Yeah. And also, I think props... I think we might have said this on the last one. Props to Jai Courtney for getting himself off the shit list.
Too right, yeah. He's totally off the...
Grabbing a cheeky tinny every now and then.
And whoever played Enchantress with the gyrations.
Cara Delevingne? I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Certainly put a smile on my face for a few days. But I was worried how... I've never been a Harley Quinn fan, ever.
Right.
And even in that animated show, I never liked the character. And so I was thinking, oh, that's just going to ruin it. She's just going to annoy me, but she actually was one of the most memorable things about it, for definite. And I also watched one with her in called Zed for Zachariah on Netflix, which you wouldn't know it's the same person. So she's obviously really good at... She's a really good actress. Check it out, yeah, and it's got a chap who won the Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, and the guy who plays Kirk in the new Star Trek.
Okay.
Definitely check that out. It was really good. It was a good post-apocalyptic kind of love triangle kind of jobby.
All right, nice one.
She looks so different. It's nuts. I wouldn't have believed it's the same person if I didn't know. Yeah.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Nice one. I just want to top up my drink. Yo.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, good.
I've got something to say to you.
Go on, what's that?
When the beast in town, the liquor goes down.
Very, very nice.
So, taking some of the green liquor to John Carpenter.
Taking the what?
The green liquor. Fight Ben Batty.
Shit. Nice one.
Mate, can I just get this in? Sorry to name drop. Speaking of Harley Quinn, I got a nice Twitter like off Tara Strong for so I watched the Killing Joke movie.
Oh yeah, how is it?
I liked it, but it's not without its faults, but I did like a quick Joker sketch in quite a rough style. I tagged her in it, and
sweet.
She gave me a nice like, so I thought, nice one.
Very good.
Yeah. So there you go. Sorry to be a name-dropping twat.
So Tara Strong, did you see the voice of Harley?
Yeah, she's the classic. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for her, because until like 3 months ago, she was like the only person anyone knew as Harley Quinn.
Oh, right.
And now she's completely forgotten, I suppose, straight away. But, and she voiced Batgirl in the Killing Joke.
Right.
Yeah. It's worth checking out. It's, I think people forget the Killing Joke's actually a really short book. It's basically the size of a comic. It's only like 30, 40 pages or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, it's probably it's like an annual size issue of a comic.
Yeah.
And they just go very heavy with the padding. And they turn it into a... Rather than have Batgirl be a kind of bit part that gets shot in the nether regions, they kind of make it more a... like an origin story for Oracle.
Right.
Which I think was kind of... quite admirable in some ways, because they had to do something with it. It's just I think they should have probably just pad out the joke a bit more, and tone, you know, like they should have done some Batgirl stuff maybe, but not as much as they did, because pretty much half the film is not even in the book.
Oh, fucking hell.
Which is a bit much, to be fair, and that's why it got so much shit thrown at it.
But that's a shame.
But I mean, it's worth it just to see Hamill play Killing Joke Joker, because it gives a performance of a lifetime,
right?
Which has been totally overlooked, really sadly. The animation didn't blow me away, to be honest, but it's not shit. It's not the best looking DC animation, but it could have been a lot worse, and they've certainly done. They've tried to sort of get that. Obviously, you can't really replicate Brian Bolland's art in animation, but they've got somewhere in between the two rather than just going full on.
Well, that's good, because I was watching Dark Knight Returns again the other night, and that is meant the first one especially is really good, and there's lots of that, like the Batman totally looks chunky, just like the way that Miller drew him.
Yeah, he does. I think if you like the book, I think you'll like it. It's just very padded, basically.
Right.
But you know, if you ever want to borrow it, I've got a copy.
Yeah, I'll give it a spin. Yeah,
like a true DC fan.
Yep.
They've got it in Sainsbury's now, mate, for like £7, along with the director's cut of Iron Giant, which is badass.
Iron Giant.
Have you ever seen the Iron Giant?
Ages ago. It's Ted Hughes' Iron Man, isn't it? but
yeah, exactly,
an American
yeah.
spin on it.
With a kind of, yeah, like sort of 50s communist paranoia and Sputnik and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's Galactus.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And the new version's got this incredibly dark scene where he dreams that he's out destroying worlds, and he's obviously forgotten about that side of his past. And then and it's shown on the hipster guy's TV. It kind of transfers to his television. He wakes up from like some boozy sleep and sees this like world's getting destroyed and stuff.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's a good flick, man. I love the Iron Giant, but it's obviously a kid's film. But after you've seen Frozen for the 100th time, it's like watching Escape from New York for the first time every time you see it.
I've still not seen it. Frozen.
Oh mate, you've not missed anything. You've missed nothing.
Good. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Don't want to feel like I'm missing out.
You never know. One of these days. Has ever crossed your mind what at some point in your life there might be like a some teenage girl shows up at your door, looks a bit like you?
No. Yeah, I can't say. Fucking hell.
There's no risk of that at all in your life.
I'm gonna take the fifth on that. Plead the fifth.
What does that mean? Like, avoid the question.
Yeah, I'm not gonna incriminate myself.
Oh, you cut me short on the horror list, by the way, because the last one was Under the Shadow.
Under the Shadow, what the fuck?
Which Hal told me about it. It's some Iranian horror film.
Okay.
So I'll give that a bloody go, I reckon.
So how many films is that? Was that five?
That takes me to six. So I'm on the lookout for a seventh.
Okay.
So yeah, if you come across anything, give us a shout.
Nice one. I might do this. Halloween week.
You should. I've never been the one. I've always treated social media as just a bit of fun, but last year I did like a film a day and reported on it, thinking some people probably found it really annoying, but some people got really into it and were like, check the same films out and stuff, and it was a really cool thing. I really enjoyed doing it. And
so what are you going to do? Are you doing a week up to Halloween or start it from Halloween? Because bear in mind, we're going to Carpenter on the Saturday.
Oh yeah, shit, yeah. So Halloween's the 31st, right?
Yeah, it's a Monday.
Okay. Probably do that week then. Which is right. Actually, no, that's November though. That feels a bit wrong.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I might start it Monday the 24th and get an extra day out of it. Because I'm going to be missing Saturday anyway.
That's a good idea.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Yeah, if I do that, then I get 7 films. There you go.
Sweet.
What would be on? You've got anything? Any horror you're itching to watch?
Greasy Strangler looks strong. Oh, did I tell you I watched Tusk?
Oh yeah, yeah. Any good? Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's decent.
I saw it. I didn't mind it.
I like Johnny Depp. He's off the rails. Well, good.
I like the fact he's a podcaster, professional podcaster.
Yeah, yeah. He's a right dick though, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think that was good that he was a dick, because what happens to him is pretty fucking harsh, and I think if he was likable in any way, you'd feel a bit bad, a bit heavier. But it feels quite light in tone, except for the end.
Yeah. I kind of I wasn't too disturbed. I think like Red State was more disturbing.
I agree.
I did like the end scene. Won't ruin it. We better not ruin it for anyone.
Red State really got under my skin, I think.
Yeah, it was good move recasting that, the guy from Red State, the priest guy, not
yes,
preacher guy, whatever.
No, he's brilliant, Michael Parks. Yeah, right, good. Yeah,
bit of a nice talent he's found there. Also, another one, mate.
Go on.
ARQ, ARC. Did you catch it yet?
No, I watched the trailer for it. It's got Rachel Taylor in out of Jessica Jones, I think.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
No, it looks all right. It looks a bit. What's it called? That Tom Cruise one. Edge of Tomorrow. It looks a bit like that in that, you know, shit's happening. And the same with, it looks like Source Code as well in terms of like something's happening and you keep then going back to the start.
Yeah. That's basically, definitely. I'm not seeing the other one, but it's definitely Source Code-y kind of concept. But I actually preferred it to Source Code.
Right.
I like Source Code.
So did I. It made me cry. I really like Source Code.
It's a really good flick. Yeah, because that's the lady out of Conjuring, isn't it? The lady.
The delicious Vera Farmiga, yeah.
Yeah. Also from The Departed, I believe.
Yeah. She's Norman Bates. She's Norma Bates in Bates Motel.
All right. Yeah. I do like her. She's cool. But yeah, it's very low budget, which I kind of like when, you know, when something's got a low budget and they do it really well, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, really liked it, and it kept me guessing as well.
Cool.
Yeah, like I couldn't have predicted where it was going to end, and it was a bit confusing as well, which I kind of liked. A bit like, do you ever see Primer?
Yes. Fucking hell, yeah, Primer was a right head fuck. I had to dig out someone did like an infographic to explain it.
Yeah, that kind of schematic looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we went through the same thought process there.
Yeah, Primer was strong. Yeah, really good.
I think I wouldn't say it's as good as Primer, but it's on the same. If you like Primer, I'll guarantee you're going to get something out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Netflix original film as well, because I thought it was a series when I first put it on. I was like, this is a bit long for a first episode, and realised it was just a one-off film. So
right,
making their own films now, which is
Did they've been I think the what's it called, Beasts of No Nation with Idris Elba. When that came out earlier, I think either late last year, it was around that time when they started doing, you know, like if they've got a new thing coming, the menu auto plays a fucking trailer for you, and it's right annoying. Mm. Anyway, but yeah, it looks decent, but heavy going. It's about child soldiers in Africa, and I think Idris Elba's like some charismatic general who's employing kids to be soldiers. It's probably a heavy watch, like, but it's
like that Coney guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly, that Coney guy. Down with Coney.
Yeah, I got sucked into that. Stood tall through being a tight ass.
Down with Coney. Let's bring him to justice. What's he done? Well, the internet says.
I like Charlie Brooker's take on it.
Like, what was that?
Because he'd already been kicked out. Coney had already been extradited, apparently. So he's like, it's like saying, get Bubbles out of Big Brother 2. Although I would stand for that, to be honest. I would get behind that one. Yeah. Oh, yeah, new series of Black Mirror coming soon, apparently. No.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's what I'd forgotten about Beasts of No Nation. It's directed by Cary Fukunaga, who did True Detective Series 1.
Bloody hell.
Lest we forget. So that's why I always meant to freaking watch it, but I think it still seems too grim. It still seems too heavy for me. So
I mean, it's pretty rare anything involving Africa is fun to watch. It sounds harsh, but like I tried to watch Long Way Down because I loved Long Way Round, you know,
right,
Ewan McGregor and Charlie, what's his face,
Foreman.
And it's basically that, but every time they hit a village it's like, oh, so and so's just died because their leg decayed and these kids haven't got anything to eat, and it was like, fucking hell, this is like watching the news for
fucking hell.
And it was, sorry, I sound like a real fucking overprivileged white cunt now, don't I?
Yeah, I'm sorry these poor Africans are depressing you, Jim.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I met a girl who worked as a nurse, and she was from Africa, and she was just telling me all these fun stories about, you know, like growing up, she'd like, her and her pals would like chase a baboon up the mountain and stuff. And like, no bullshit, they'd like, can you imagine chasing a baboon up a mountain? I'd shit my pants.
Sounds ridiculous.
Baboons are well scary.
I know. Okay.
She was like, because there'd just be this gang of little kids chasing it, that it'd run off, and they'd just chase it for a laugh, and it'd obviously get away. Maybe it didn't get away.
Shit.
Yeah, I don't know. There you go. Anyway, we should change the subject and probably delete this whole thing. So, anything else going down in the land of McVeigh?
Not that I can think of. Just ploughing through Nick Cage. Luke Cage.
Yeah, I called it that today.
Now, that's a show I'd definitely fucking watch.
Nicolas Cage in the ghetto. In a yellow hoodie. It'd be like Live and Let Die, where... what's his name? Roger Moore goes into Harlem wearing a white tuxedo or something.
Yeah. A fine film. Yeah, Luke Cage, it's strong. Those Netflix and Marvel team-ups, they know what they're doing. I'll hand it to them.
Yeah, I didn't take to his character in Jessica Jones, but I think from what I've seen of the trailers of his own show, it looks all right.
I think with... In Jessica Jones, it felt like he was there just for, because they needed to get him in. He didn't really, it felt like he was abruptly booted out of it as well.
Right.
So I don't think it really felt like, it just felt like you show him as too much of this guy, but also at the same time, not the bits we want to see. Whereas this is a bit more, it's a bit more in keeping with what you'd expect, I guess. It's Ace. It's really funny, and it's pretty harsh, it's good stuff. It's good, approved.
Yeah, because I've been watching Hannibal showed up on Netflix. I've been getting into that.
Yeah, I've heard that's brilliant.
It's they kind of lure you in a bit. The first two episodes are not too heavy going, and then suddenly it's like bang. Here's some fucking guy got buried alive with mushrooms growing out of him, and it's like, oh, that's a bit harsh. And it just, yeah, and it's Mads Mikkelsen is just instantly my favourite Hannibal,
right?
Because none of that fucking all that fucking nonsense. It plays it a bit more like the original Lecter. What's his name?
Oh, Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Keeps it closer to the chest, gives, you know, like a bit less a bit less pantomime baddie. Well, you know, I mean, Silence of the Lambs is a good film,
but yeah, I mean, did you ever watch Red Dragon?
Yeah, that was, I think I preferred that actually
to Manhunter.
No, to Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, but, fuck it,
but Manhunter's still my favourite of the lot. There was some Hannibal origin film, wasn't there? I never saw. Was that any good? Did you?
Hannibal Rising? No, I didn't bother with it. I still never watched. I never watched Red Dragon because that's a remake of The Manhunter's Tale, but just because it's got Anthony Hopkins in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Edward Norton was quite good in it. But
yeah, Ralph Fiennes as the dude.
Good, pretty good fucking casting, to be fair. Well, it just didn't have the sort of menace of that Michael Mann film.
Yeah.
A sort of cold fucking streets in LA or whatever.
Exactly, that's what Mann does. Have you seen Thief yet?
No.
It's Mann's first film. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, James Caan?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that was Michael Mann.
Yeah, it's his first film, and then he did The Keep. But, yeah.
Shit, right.
Thief is well worth your time.
What's it about? Thief!
It's about a princess who gets trapped in some ice. Dad has to come and get her out or some shit. I don't know.
Mate, your chicken stew must be getting cold here.
It's not a stew. It's fine now. What I've been doing, Jim, is I roasted a chicken, right? And what I do when I roast a chicken, I'm not just throwing that carcass out. I'm making up some stock, so, you know, hot water, a few veg and herbs in there, that shit's simmering away. Got a nice soup base going on.
Shit.
I don't fuck about, man.
You do like your cooking, don't you? No attempt at. I'm not going to follow this by taking. You know, I'm not setting you up.
Oh, Fatty McVee likes his cooking.
It's not some kind of setup.
Yeah, I enjoy cooking. Yeah, I enjoy cooking. So it's therapeutic. It's good.
Yeah, I made a meal last night for our anniversary.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you cook?
It's going to sound boring, but I made a chicken salad, and I bought an Italian kind of dressing for it, and a couple of baked potatoes. Oh. Threw that in the mix, and a healthy meal.
That sounds good.
It was all right, actually, to credit myself. And then she bought a dessert that I didn't really like. So she bought herself a dessert.
What was the dessert?
It was cheesecake, which I normally like, but she bought me a lemon one, which I wasn't that asked about. Some more strawberry cheesecake sort of guy, or just standard cheesecake.
I think I'd rather have a lemon cheesecake over a strawberry cheesecake. I'll tell you that for free.
Right.
Yeah, lemon cheesecake's fine. I need to go and drain my stock.
No worries.
To drain my stock. I need something to eat as well. I'm fucking starving, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah, man, well, we've bagged over an hour easily, so that's not bad for a short episode.
Good.
So we've done all right there, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I'll see you at Ron Carpenter live.
Ron Carpenter on Mars. Nice one.
God, that's going to be a good cover picture. All right, mate. This is Me for the Beast, episode 23.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Nice.
See you soon.
Okay, we've got a closing track today from some very nice chaps in Leicester who've kindly let us play this tune. They're called The Surrealists, and they're a band who describe themselves as being somewhere between noise rock and post-hardcore. They've got an EP coming out in a few weeks. It's called Teratoma. I believe the release date is October the 22nd. So I've got one in order, which I'm looking forward to getting. So I thought it'd be apt to play something from their new CD. They were kind enough to... it's actually an EP, I believe. They were kind enough to send me one of the tracks off the EP. And there was a track called Contra Dickhead, which seemed too fucking cool of a title for us not to play it. So this is The Surrealists. Go and check them out on Bandcamp. Just go to Bandcamp and type in The Surrealists, and the EP is called Teratoma once again, and this is Contra Dickhead.
Another. Besides.